It is Friday, people. Good morning to you. Good morning, my dear listeners. Good morning, Namibia. How are you this Friday? So how is your Friday so far? So it's a very beautiful Friday morning, and welcome to Eagle FM, and this is your number one talk radio station in the land. So, and thanks for joining us this morning on this Friday morning, and it's always our pleasure to be in your company and bring you, you know, what is happening economically, business-wise, you know, and any other things else, you know, what is happening in the country, around the world. You know, we just, you know, finished the economic, the early morning scoop, you know, and thanks to David for the early morning scoop. So good morning to you. Our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of eight. This is time for Unpacking the Days. We come to you live from Ondangwa Studio from now until the hour of 10 o'clock when we hand over to the big man, Franz. So now from now until 10 o'clock, this is Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshaveli, and you're tuned into your daily dose of what really going on in business, economic, and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, to make sense of trends, to make sense of the numbers are making headlines. So we keep it clear, a little witty, and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, what newspapers are saying, so, and spark a meaningful conversation. So you can now be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. Good morning. If you're just joining us, welcome to Eagle FM, and you just tune in on Unpacking the Days. So today is the 5th of September, and let's start our first segment in Unpacking the Day, which is on this day in Africa. So what happened on this day in Africa throughout history, a key significant event in the history of Africa on this day? So in Senegal, if we go to Senegal, the election, it was on the 5th of September 1960, the esteemed poet and intellectual Leopold Sédar Senghor was elected as the first president of Senegal, making a pivotal moment in Senegal's post-colonial transition and a significant milestone in the broader wave of African decolonizations. And on a very same day, on the 5th of September 1960, in the Republic of the Congo, President Joseph Kasavubu, dismissed Prime Minister Patrice Lumumba and placed him under house arrest amid, you know, rising political tensions and unrest in that country at that time. So, and the 5th of September, September the 5th, is also recognized as the International Day of Charity. So today is an International Day of Charity, but it's also a World Samosa, you know, Samosa Day, that samosa that we eat. So it's also a World Samosa Day, so which have also significance in Africa context as well. So today is an International Day of Charity, and well, make sure that you do some work of charity today. So you could be possibly work of charity. Even if you give a compliment to somebody, just give some compliment. Just give a compliment to somebody, you know. You look beautiful today or whatever. Pick up something that you can compliment about somebody. That could be also something. Or when you pass by someone begging, give an extra. Eh? That could be also charity. Or visit somebody or visit. You can go to the old age, help afterwards. You know, do something. Do some charity work, you know, today. For somebody. And it's a world samosa day. Maybe go and buy it during lunch. Go and buy a samosa or something. So happy World Samosa Day. And it's an international day of charity. Try to do something on this day. All right. So, and it's a Friday, September the 5th. So, and our thought for the day today, a brave man dies once. A coward, 1,000 times. A brave man dies once. A coward, 1,000 times. Now, the proverb means that a person with courage faces danger or challenges head on and experiences the consequences once, such as maybe death or failure, with dignity. Whatever face that he faced that with dignity. So, in contrast, a coward lives in fear repeatedly. So, metaphorically, dying many times over due to constant worry, you know, worry, hesitation, or avoidance of risk. So, bravery is not the absence of fear, but the ability to confront fear and move forward despite the fear, you know. So, the proverb emphasizes that courage leads to a single honorable confrontation with adversity, while cowardice leads to ongoing suffering caused by fear. So, that's our thought for the day. So, a brave man dies once, a coward 1,000 times. So, in your decision today, in your choices that you're making today, make sure that you are a brave man. So, you are not who actually face challenges and danger with courage, rather than actually someone who is, you know, cowardice, who is coward and confront and who actually constantly worrying, hesitating, and avoiding of risk. So those are cowardice, quality. So that's our thought for the day. A brave man dies once and a coward 1,000 times. So, and welcome to unpacking the day right here on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. So, and keep listening. Let's keep listening to Eagle FM. And you can do it this way. You can do it. You can still listen to the radio in some areas where we still have actually where the you can still listen to the radio in some area. In some area where you cannot, you can download our Eagle FM app, which you can download from the Google Play, or you can download from a Play Store. So that wherever you are, I always said, like me, I'm a you know, on the go kind of person, you know, and I want wherever I am, I can be able to listen to Eagle FM. So what you need to do, download that app, a mobile app, and also if you're in office, you can listen through your website, through our website as well. So, and the Eagle FM, mobile app, there are a lot of features, and for young people who are also looking for work, sometimes there are also vacations there, vacancies on there. And if you want to also be familiar with your political, you know, priorities, yeah, political manifestos, you can get there. And also a lot of reports from different institutions as well. So make sure that you download the Eagle FM mobile app. So, and today is Friday, and you know what happened Friday? And if you You know, if you're really looking for the latest business, economic news and all that, get yourself a copy, a free copy for that matter, of The Villager. A free copy of The Villager. And what you need to do, it's quite simple. It's very simple what you need to do. You just sent a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And always contact, save that as a contact, because, you know, we don't want that be as a spam or something that, you know, that goes to where you can't read it. So, and as always, if it, this is your first time, The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and today. Today's edition is already out. So make sure that you subscribe for Monday's one. You know, it's already out. So we make sure that, you know, we get you informed as much early as possible as you face the course of the day. And do please also, please do follow Eagle FM and also the Villager on our social media platforms. We are on Villager. I mean, we are on X. We are on LinkedIn. We are on Instagram. We are on Facebook. So, and WhatsApp channels. So make sure that you engage us. You engage with us on these social media platforms. And you leave a like, a comment. And we definitely try to, as much as we can, to also respond or speak to you as well, you know, because we want you to engage and give us feedback as well. Give us feedback on our platforms. So we would appreciate that as well. So, yeah. And, well, if you are a business person, or maybe not, you just want to advertise, you just want to actually let your event or function or workshop or conference, you know, known what you'll be doing this weekend, So make sure that you contact us. And sometime you want, you know, what we can also do is really expose your function or your workshop or your conference, whatever it is, you know, during a real, in real time, exposure via live streaming and or broadcastings. So we can, Eagle FM can be able to do that for you, with really, you know, if we speak to this lady, so there's a lady that you know you need to talk to, probably you will we will be able to do that with something that you are really say, yes, I can afford that. So the number to dial, 083-288-400, 083-288-400. So once you call that number, you'll probably find the lady by the name Monica on the other side, and she would be able to help you. So good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. And this is Unpacking the Day. So what we can expect today? The National Youth Fund, the National Youth Fund loans will be offered at 4% interest. It will be offered at 4% interest. And now, the questions that we're looking at is this, and that we're going to look at and unpack, is this sustainable? Is a 4% interest sustainable? So we're going to look at that. We're going to go into that. And also, SACU get a 30% of Namibian export. Let's see, where do we get our money? So who are our friends? And where do we, you know, import things that comes into Namibia, goods that comes into Namibia? So let's look at that as well, if we have a time. And also, a certified seed sector to be established to reduce imports as well. And that was in, there's a story also in our The Villager. So that's what we expect. That's what you can expect today in today's in today's show. So stay tuned. We will be back and getting into our first item on the show. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So, not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. Uh-huh. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, good morning, Namibia, and you are listening to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. I'm your host, Mike Osavedi, coming to you live from Ondangwa Studio. Be part of the debate. Be part of the debate by setting the agenda. That's what we say here. Be part of the debate by setting the agenda. So, what is the agenda today? So, the government has just announced that loans from the National Youth Entrepreneurship Fund will be offered at a fixed low interest rate of just 4%. Now, this sounds like the breaking through we have been waiting for, isn't it? So a direct, which is also a direct, attack, if you can put it that way, on our shocking 44.4% youth unemployment rate. So definitely, it's something one component, if you like, to address our shocking 44.4 youth unemployment rate. So, but as we always do on this show, so we're not just going to read the headlines, we are going to unpack them. We are going to ask the tough questions. Is this a genuine economic lifeline or just a well-meaning promise that could sink under its own weight? Could be. So, but stick around if you really want to find out. We are going to break this down, look at the piece beyond the obvious headlines, and then see what lesson we can learn from our neighbors as well when it comes to youth funds. So I have taken up to go to look at other countries as well, with the youth funds, how they have executed that, what the experience of such programs or such initiatives in those countries. So we will do that comparison at least. And much of this is actually a lesson. Can we learn something from other countries as well who have done the same thing? So that's what we're going to look at as well. So make sure that you stick around. So imagine you are a young Namibian with a dream. You have an idea for a business, but no capital. Okay? So the official stat says nearly 44.4 of our youth, these ages from 15 to 34, are jobless. So now that's almost half of our young people without work. Okay? It's actually shockingly higher. It's a shockingly higher number. So, and sometimes, you know what? When you hear this statistic, as I always, statistics are misleading. And imagine now, when I said half of our youth are jobless. And if you hear this often, it becomes part of everyday news that it doesn't seem to have that impact anymore. You know when you hear, death, when you're looking when you're looking on your phone every day, you hear somebody died, somebody, been killed, this happened, this and this, until it become common. It become common, and even when you hear about 14 people died, your heart sinks, yes, definitely. But it's, since you're used to death, it doesn't shock you much. Do you understand what I mean? It doesn't shock you really that much. And because you get used to this, you read it, and it's not only Namibia, you read all this news all over the world, and so many deaths, So in this country, about half of these people have been killed, and when now you hear about 14 people, well, you kind of people think there are millions and whatever people that are killing. It becomes a common thing that it doesn't, our heart don't sink anymore. The reason why I'm mentioning that is that when we hear this, as I said, half of our youth are unemployed. That's massive, people. So because we hear this every day, it becomes common that we don't really seriously now, think about it. So many of them are out of school. They are out of school. They see few options in their lives. So now when the finance minister when the finance ministry announced a new fund to help young entrepreneurs with loan at just 4% interest, I think it caught everyone's attention. It caught everyone's attention. And it should caught your attention as well. So because there are other things that we need to look at. So, and imagine this is now the source of our, at this point in time, that's kind of like the source that would address, it's not going to address it completely, but as part of addressing unemployment of our youth unemployment. So it is, as you have seen, the queues and things like that of applications, it's a lot, okay? So, as I said, it should caught our interest. It should caught your interest as well and your attentions. So now, is this the solution? Is this the solution? So we will explore what behind the headline, as I said. We will compare with other countries, youth funds, peek at possible challenges. What would be the challenges? And ask you to think. As I always do, ask you to think. When I ask you questions, I want you to think beyond the usual, rhetoric that you receive. Eh? So think, will our youth really benefit, or are there some strings attached? And if you want to know what I mean by string attached, well, stick around. So now, stick around and you will know. So, What is the plan? Okay, what is the government's plan? So the finance minister has announced that the government is mobilizing half a billion, Namibian dollar, for this fund. Okay, they are putting up now. They are putting 257. Million on the table for this financial year alone, 257 for this year. So the big news as you all know, loan will charge at most 4% interest. That's the big news. So that's the gospel. The gospel is that, the good news, the gospel is that the loans will charge at 4% interest. Now, that is a fixed low rate, far below normal commercial loans. So very, very, very low. So they say this is a direct lending. Now, government money pushed into youth project at a soft rate to make it easier to repay, you know, to make it now easier for the youth to repay that money. Now, if you think practically, let me put this practically, just give an example. So imagine you borrow $100,000. $100,000 Namibian dollar for your small business. So at 4% interest, you would pay only about 4,000 a year in interest if you actually borrowed 100,000. So if that is at 4% now, at 4% interest, you would only pay about 4,000 a year in interest. That is very low. My friend, that's very low compared to bank loans, which might be actually double or even triple. It's close to 12, maybe 12% or something like that. So it's absolutely, absolutely low. So now on top of that, on top of the low rate, these loans are collateral free. Are collateral free. So you won't need a house or your goat or or your kettle or a big asset to get one. So you don't need, you know. So you don't need to have all that to get be able to get one, to get a loan. So which is actually huge for many youth. Who lacks those guarantees? The youth don't have those guarantees. So And basically, you see, yesterday when I was talking about financial inclusion, that is more like financial inclusion because you remove the barriers. Eh? So it's collateral free. Is the interest rate is very, very, very low. So that would allow, you know, and those who will not be able to repay, for example, looking of repaying and say, no, that's too much. So now you allow that. So that's more, the financial inclusion that we're talking about. Not some of the other things that were, you know, that were mentioned in some of those. All right. So that's the collateral, it is collateral free. So that's also the other thing. The repayment terms are said to be flexible as well. So I'm just, you know, giving you a broader understanding of what this is all about. So the repayment terms are also flexible. The loan will be handled by several institutions, not one institution, several institutions. The developing bank. What is the developing bank doing here, actually? Seriously, because it should have been by its mandate should be already offering this kind of initiatives. Okay. Anyway, so the developing bank, those will also handle the loans. The Agribank also handled the loans, and the Environmental Investment Fund will also be one of those institutions handling the loan. And later on, NAMPOS is also in their thought for future. Okay, so. Now, the idea is to use, apparently, is to use these multiple channels so money flows faster. Okay? They said that when relying on one channel, it creates bottleneck, which I agree, you know? So, using now these multiple channels, the money would flow faster. All right? So, but it would be also that depending on the market, depending on your sector. If you are on farming, maybe you go to Agribank. If you are on some, you know, other sectors. Maybe you go to developing bank, and if you are whatever sector, intending to go to an environmental invest fund. So it should be divided in that, in depending on where you are or the kind of business that you want to venture in. So that would be that would make it more easier, yeah, as well. So, yeah. Now, the funds aim to finance businesses across many sectors. A loan will run from roughly 60,000 up to 200,000. So these are small to medium seed loans. And the hope is to seed upstart startups and help them expand and create jobs as well. So they have also focused on women, rural youth and disabled entrepreneurs. So that's the focus as well. So that we don't want, so according to the plan, so we can always make that distinction. According to plan, we don't want to leave anybody behind. Okay? So the question is always implementing this. The question is always how we implement. And we know that from other initiatives as well. So there's also a talk on non-financial support, which is actually a good idea. So mentorship program, coaching, market access, so, and a high tech real time data platform, you know, linking ministries and lenders as well. So if true, if all that comes together, that could help avoid, with this now real time data platform, I think that would help also avoid duplication and also tracking the progress of all this. It all sounds very comprehensive. All right. So, but you knew there was a but coming. Okay. Otherwise, this is not unpacking the day. So this is where now we need, you know, to put on our analytical hat. Okay. Every one of you, let's put on our analytical hat. Okay. So we have heard all the good things. As I said, that sounds really, really, really comprehensive from the planning wise. All right, now let's start with 4% 4% rate. So the 4% it's a great offer, okay? It is a great offer, but it's only one piece of a very complex puzzle. Well. So, so cheap, remember this, and I put this here just for you to think, you know, cheap debt is still actually debt. No matter how cheap it is, it's still debt. Now, think about that. So, have that at the back of your mind. It doesn't matter how cheap it is. Now, so the question, one thing that we're looking at, who pays for these 4% cap. The cap is 4%. So, and I'm gonna put this in a context. Who pays for the 4% cap? Now, let me put this in the context. Okay? If inflation is higher, than 4%, or let's say there is default happen, does someone make up the difference? Who pays for that difference? Are you following? Now, we should keep in mind that interest at 4% may not even cover inflation. Now, expert caution, you know, this is a caution from expert that if interest rate don't at least match inflation, the fund's value slowly is eaten away, you know, will be eaten away. So slowly as you go, because the thing is that, in other words, it is the thing is this. So And I would like those are in finance to come as well and maybe explain this better than I'm thinking about it. So at 4%, if the inflation is say 6%, the fund loses purchase power over time unless some subsidy covers that gap. So how do you build up that fund when it's too low, when it actually not matching the inflation? This is what now some expert, you know, are cautioning are cautioning. So as I said, those of you who are in the finance, how does this would affect? And this is the question of sustainability now. Would that be sustainable at that rate? Yes, a rate is a great offer. 4% is a great offer for those who are actually now. But do you put it at the rate that would be sustainable given the inflation that we're now talking about when you're not matching the inflation? So that's something that one big question. So is this rate sustainable? Or will the fund shrink as the loans are repaid? Would it shrink? Because now the thing is that what you're taking out more and you're bringing in less. How do you grow that fund? So because it has to be a revolving kind of fund, it should support itself, okay? So in the end, otherwise you would be pumping, and that's a question: how sustainable that will be. So is this rate sustainable? Financial people as well, I would love you to come in later and explain whether that makes sense, whether should that be a concern. Yes, it's a great offer. The 4% rate is a great offer. So, but is that rate sustainable? It's for you to debate. All right? So, now, I'm also going to... So, unless somebody's... There's somebody knocking, unless he's answering my question right now, that one, because otherwise I'm going... Unless you answer the question, you'll come later. Okay. We missed that one. All right. So, but unless... And I really someone who financially understand that, yeah, more than I do. But this is what the expert are cautioning, okay? So, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, are you a financial person?
Not really, but I want to answer the question.
Yeah, so I will go on, but I just want someone actually expanding that, you know.
Okay. Mm. So my simple answer as a layman, if we look in terms of profit, it might not be sustainable. But if we are looking in terms of empowering the nation, because we should differentiate the two. Is it for empowering or is it for profit? Yes.
Yeah.
So then we can answer the question. But this fund, I think, is meant for empowering.
Yeah.
Yes. Equally, the same thing that what happened before independence.
But even if it's empowering, wouldn't be set up in a way that could be sustainable?
No. Mm. I hope it's set up such that there will be funds coming from other directions to put into that fund as the population grows. So we are empowering, we are not going to stop, because remember, unemployment won't stop today because we have solved it, because we have created this fund, so tomorrow it's all gone.
Exactly, yeah.
As people go, because remember also people will be revolving, so we should have a fund that is bumping into there, that is not for profit making. It's just to consider that whatever we have given, we can return back and give another person, is it?
Yeah.
So, and then... Other sources should be pumping money into that fund. Mm. That fund is not for profit. For me, yes. If it's not for profit, If it's for profit, it might not. But let's look at the point. Is it for profit or for empowering?
Okay, that's
I'll come into when you are when you are done with
Exactly. Yeah. No. No. Come later. But you give me a different angle as well that others should looking at when we're thinking about that questions as well. All right.
Thanks. I hope I've answered your question.
Yeah. Actually, you just given a different angle to it. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Good. All right. So we're gonna look at that. So as I said, I was asking that question. At least for this point, and for someone to, but he has put on a different angle, which is very good as well. To say, well, is this for, yes, it is not sustainable if it's for profit, but if it's for empowerment, that actually, we may look to get some, you know, funds somewhere else to support that funds. Okay. Now, let's look at some, let's look at some, you know, success or warning from okay. So let me also look, someone actually sent me the, also, on my WhatsApp. So yeah, on sustainability of the fund, another question, what if half of the enterprises fail? So that's why it talks about what if it default. So I think the government will keep on putting in money, and the due diligence for greenfields will be difficult, and many enterprises could fail. Okay, take that point as well. Okay, so take that point as well. So that's really great. That's a good point as well. So, all right, let's look at, I said I take it up to go to other countries that have also similar or that have funds, youth funds, because this is not the first youth fund launched on the continent. So even in Namibia's neighborhood, you know, we can learn from others as well. So now, so let's go to Tanzania Youth Fund. Now, back in the 1990s, Tanzania set up a national youth fund. Well, despite some bumps, bumps, a study found 89% of beneficiary did manage to create employment for themselves and even hire others. 89%. Okay? So in other words, when we come from this, we will continue. When we come from this commission, we'll continue this. All right?
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
All right, welcome back. So, the example, we were looking at Tanzanian Youth Fund, which was back in 1990s. And as I said, the study found that 89% of beneficiaries did manage actually to create employment for themselves and even hire others. So, in other words, the vast majority of youth borrowers ended up putting themselves, you know, putting themselves and others and their peers as well to work. So, now, however, that success came with a catch. There was a catch. Many borrowers still struggling without ongoing support. Now, the same study recommended, and I'm bringing up some of this aspect for us to think that as we're moving forward, should we actually include those, if we not, should we include those components as well? So the same study now recommended that coaching, mentoring, monitoring, and mentorship to improve business performance. So it, I recommended that those elements, coaching, mentoring, monitoring, should also be part of that to improve the business performance of the people who are receiving, of these youth that are receiving the funds. Simply giving them money wasn't enough. So support services actually matters. Now, I'm going to give you two views. I'm going to look at two views. I'm going to go to other countries as well later. But here, this is something that I want us to look at now in two views. Okay? So remember, the study said it has been successful. You know, 89%, you know, beneficiary did manage to create employment for themselves and even for their colleagues as well, and hire others as well. Now, but that success came, many borrowers still struggled without ongoing support. That was now the problem. So, and then the study recommended that, well, there should be coaching, monitoring, and a mentorship to improve business performance. Now, I'm going to look at two viewpoints, and you can later also think, which one do you think you support? Now, viewpoint one, and listen to me very, very carefully, because I want you to think, and this is now is something serious. So now this fund is a crucial first step. Okay? You have now should be now, okay, let me put it this way. Now you have, it's a crucial first step. So now this is the viewpoint now, viewpoint one. You have to provide the capital first. Now here is it, you must first provide capital. You can't expect untrained young people now to pay for expensive business courses they can't afford. So therefore, you must first provide the capital, and then the loan comes first, and the survival instinct will probably force them into the learning on the job as well. So that is the real, that becomes now the real world university where you're learning on the job. So the government's job is to provide, now this is the viewpoint, the government job is to provide the opportunity and not hold everyone's hands. So it shouldn't be the one now, you know, coaching, monitoring, they just need to provide the opportunity. So first money, and then they can, you know, from that money, let they can build up their businesses and learn from the job and all that. So that's the first viewpoint. So based on what I'm picking up on the Tanzania things that they recommended. Now, the second viewpoint. Now, this is to say, okay, this is putting now the cart before the horse. So disbursing now loans without mandatory, now this is the viewpoint now, without mandatory or higher quality training is setting up thousands of young people for failure and lifelong debt, because you're going to put, if that doesn't work, you're going to put them in debt as well. So now the view is that the government should first invest million in building a network of business incubator, maybe mentorship programs and practical workshop. So the loan should be the final step after providing the basic, you know, business competency, not the first, not the loan should be the first, and learning on the job. So which side are you on? Is it the opportunity first or training first? Or maybe you think that should happen simultaneously. Maybe there's not two sides, maybe it's three sides. So think about that. And that's, it just, when I'm thinking of what the Tanzanian recommended, because that was also a failure. There has been a success, but that was also something that they needed ongoing support. Now, support in terms of some of these kind of things, you know. So should we first maybe build a network of business as the incubators, as they refer them to, mentorship program, and then practical workshop, then the loan should be the final step after now we see that, well, these people are ready to run the business. So they are now competent enough. So, or should we give them money, let learn them from the job? If they fail, they fail, you know. So which one first? So that I want you to think about as well. Now, let's go to Nigeria. Okay, the Nigeria one is interesting. So the Nigerian Youth Fund, let's fast forward to today. Nigeria has a youth entrepreneurship fund. All right, as part of its technology booming strategy, you know, they want to boost that technology industry. So interestingly, Nigeria gives grant, not loan. All right, the Nigeria give grant, not loans. So up to 5 million naira, I think, up to five million naira is available as a grant. I don't know how, I forgot to put this in Namibian dollars. I don't know what 5 million is. It's 10 US dollars, 10,000 US dollars. How much is that in Namibian dollars? Okay. Now, so up to 5 million naira is available as a grant to youth-led business. No repayment at all. Here now, the difference is that no repayment is required. You don't pay this money back. That policy has now, it has been praised. The policy has been praised for jump-starting big ideas. So they were able to actually jump-start big ideas. But it is expensive and it's also hard to sustain. So it's expensive and it's really very hard to sustain. Now, the grant program can lose money quickly. And, well, Namibia's approach is different. Ours is approach. Loan must be paid, must be repaid. So this preserves capital. So if it works, now, for in Namibian case, if it works, it preserves that capital. So the contrast is instructive. You know, a grant attract a lot of takers. Of course, a grant would attract a lot of takers, but loans like what we are thinking, like Namibia, might weed out some, you know, those without maybe good plans. If you don't have a good plans, you know, if that could be weed out. So, but the grant, so would definitely would actually attract a lot of takers. So, both models have trade-offs, as we have seen. So. Both have really trade-offs. So that's one aspect, okay? Think about it in our discussions. Think about it, all right? Now, Kenya Youth Fund, and then we get to Botswana, to our neighbor Botswana. So I still have in Botswana. Now, the Kenya, interesting one. Kenya experience serves as a cautionary tale, if you like. So the Kenyan government ran several special funds for youth and women. Now, a recent analysis by financial expert found that Kenya's youth enterprise fund has been plagued by higher default rates, unpaid loans, and also questionable transactions. Sound familiar? Higher default rates, unpaid loans, questionable transactions as well among the DFIs, you know. So now, in simple terms, many borrowers never paid back. Auditors found messy bookkeeping. So the result, taxpayer bailed out troubled loans and confidence in the fund actually plucked. So now those auditors warn Kenya need a strong oversight and accountability, something that we always talk about, to make the funds work. So they must need a really strong oversight, a robust oversight, and accountability. That has to be in place. So if Namibia fund isn't carefully managed, it could see the similar losses that happened, like what is happening in Kenya. Now, lastly, let's go to Botswana. Now, Botswana Out of School Youth Fund. So another example from years back shows an interesting evolution in Botswana. Botswana started a youth fund in 2001 with just 3 million pula. Okay? By 2007, they had grown it to 45 million puller. So through reinvestment, now they grow this through reinvestment. Now they use interest earning and new budget to scale up. So, and this highlight a point. This highlight a point here. So, if Namibia Fund charges any interest, even 4%, okay, and recycle it wisely, if we recycle that wisely, it could theoretically go over time instead of just depleting. All right. So, and as James that you called, you know, that now is this empowerment? You know, definitely you can think of that now. But that only works if most loans are then being repaid. So every case here that we look at, every case teaches us something. Youth loans or grant all can either can ignite really business, but only if they are matched with good design and management. So money alone rarely solve high unemployment. So that's not what this is all about. So those are some of the of just give you a snap, you know, picture of what is happening in other countries as well. So now so let's look at what lies now beneath this, if you like. Okay, there is no doubt a 4% loan is attractive. Young people with ideas but no saving or asset could finally start that catering business, that poultry farm or tech startup or removal collateral makes the fund more inclusive. And that's what I'm saying when we're talking about yesterday, financial inclusion. When you remove all that, you know, so definitely there's financial inclusion. Focus on rural youth and women maybe help bridge the regional and gender gap. We don't want to leave anybody. So, and by spreading disbursement across the multiple bank, I think the government hopes to avoid the old single channel delay. So if all goes well, this scheme could indeed help some entrepreneurs get off the ground. So I'm not going to go into the caveats. What are the warnings? Okay, so I want you to come through now. Now you can come through and engage me on some of the things that we talked about. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking Today.
Yes, morning, Mr. Michael.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine enough.
I'm alright, man. It's Friday at all.
Yeah. Friday is always, it always brings some different vibe than other days.
I'm telling you. I think the week with people, a lot of people, what they don't like is Monday.
That's my favorite day, actually, Monday, you know.
Yeah, but mostly they prefer Friday, you know.
Yeah.
I was so happy when you started reading, even the what, giving us the information.
Yeah.
Until you mentioned the development bank.
That's why I was
most disappointing, my friend.
That's why I was asking, what is developing bank doing here? So this is something that they should have been doing, you know,
for a long time. Yeah. You know, the development bank, the one was like, I don't know if they are there to represent the Namibian business people or they are there for individuals who are already rich. You must remember, they title is like a development thing, but they are saying if you have to get a fund, you must have a business with making money a year, 2 point something million, so they can fund it. Just imagine. But they are saying the title is development thing. What does it mean?
Yeah.
It means to scale up the small business and the medium enterprise.
Yeah.
But now we are jumping into big guns. How many of us we are having business are making 2.7 million a year?
Yeah.
So we can get a fund from the development bank.
We need funds to get there. Where, how do you get there when you don't?
How do I get there? With the small population we have.
Yeah.
How do I get there? Those are big established companies already. Oh, those one who are likely to get the tenders.
Yeah. Now,
there are
things that I highlight in this. One that I want people really engage on is this sustainable? Interest 4% is well below Namibian prime rate. Who will cover the difference? Okay. So the other one is also the whole idea: should first people maybe get trained, you know, become business competent, and then be able to be given funds, or should you just give them funds and that let them run with it, or should you have actually integrate both?
No. What I think they need to be done is to train people first, mentorship, and you know, so the people will be know what, where, how to. Because I think NYC.
Yeah.
They used to have a program, that one, because I was also a beneficiary of that. But only the fund which I didn't go into because it was slow. I mean, it's too small.
Mm.
Just imagine we're already like in the established business, but you're getting 6,000. What am I going to do with 6,000 in Namibia? Yeah, that's why I didn't go for it, but I got a training of that. And I still have that certificate. It was the late Mandela Kapele. That time, yeah. But seriously speaking, I think what they need to mentorship the people first. So the people be able to learn business successful. But if they are just putting money like that, it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it will be a waste of time.
And the other day, I mean, I'm just thinking of now I even go to Environmental Investment Fund. What is it doing here, the Environment of Investment Fund?
There are a lot, my friend. Talk about even what? Oil or something, Total Energy.
Yeah. So,
who are they funding to? Because mostly we don't know who are those people are beneficial when it comes to their fund.
Yeah, so
I think it's oil, if I'm not mistaken, it's oil or Total Energy, something like that.
So now
I'm telling,
they become one of the, you know, given money to them where now the money goes through or something, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. You see, the problem for me in Namibia, I think we can do better, man. But the problem is with us, is that we know ourselves already.
Yeah.
We are too corrupted than even Kenya.
Yeah, but one thing is here, for me, maybe one thing is here, the government has really good intention and good plans, you know, like even this one, it's a very good sum, but we shoot ourselves in the foot in the way how we do things. You understand?
I do.
Yeah. So the plans are good, the ideas are good, are well meant, they are well meant as well, and as for to really to improve our situation and all that. But we're not doing anything on the system, you know?
Exactly.
We're not doing anything. You can't expect the same system that has been failing now to produce.
To do better than this time. To do,
you know?
What is the difference going to make if you give people money? At the end of the day, we know already the people who have been corporate for this long time.
Yeah.
They know, they do best, I mean. And they will blow the money like now. You know, for me, the thing, if it was able to stay for a long time, like, it's not only for seasonal because we are maybe for election, I think we can go far. Look at the Botswana way out there.
Yeah.
Well, in Botswana, they are giving a grant. It's not anymore like a loan to pay back. It's a grant, you don't pay back anymore.
Yeah, but
then you can see how the people they are doing when it comes to Botswana, they are business people. Really, they are all over. That's why we used to go to go and buy cars there. What do you call it? This Corolla, man, we call it Tank Botswana.
Yeah.
Yeah, we buy from individual. You even buy from the women. You see a woman selling, living like 5 or 6 cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in Namibia, nobody's empowering you. And the government is even taxing you like nobody's business. You have to pay taxi at the border. You have to pay the environment, what. You pay all those nonsense until you end up, the car may be there. It was like 30,000. Now you have to spend like almost 60.
This is exactly what I'm saying. I said, the plans, we have all the plans and the intention good, but then we shoot ourselves in the foot again. Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
I think it needs to be changed. But for me, if they really want to be a transparent, I think the Bank of Namibia, they must just excuse themselves. And the NYC also. Because we know...
Bank of Namibia are developing bank.
Even the commercial, they can do better.
Yeah.
They can use the commercial even. Bank Windhoek and Nampost, I think they can do better. Then those the words. Because NYC and the Bank of Namibia, those are useless things, I mean, organizations to have around.
But they how are, about...
They can come up with a new one.
How about...
Maybe they can come.
How about other... community organization, I don't have one in mind here now, looking at, you know, how we normally, let's even for example, how normally we, I'm not talking about those who are not competent enough actually to do this, but on a community level, rather than on a way, because now the banking sector probably will follow some criterias, you know, a banking criteria, which also in the process would also then, you know, weed out some people who may have actually good ideas.
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking of? Bring back the SME.
Could be.
Then you oversee. Yeah, bring back the SME. That's all. Because you can put your SME and that's the one.
Do you need to bring it back or should you just develop a department within maybe in the bank?
Develop. If we can develop even SME with what, through what, on the side of what, Nampos.
Yeah, could be something just
under,
like that.
Under Nampos Day. Then we develop them. Then we oversee, I mean, the Bank of Namibia oversee this side. Every time they must be put on their eye on them. So the people who are going to operate that SME. Because okay. Now, if we don't need to spend a lot of money even. We just bring some people who I know that they are expert, and they will take from even the Bank of Namibia to be somebody who know that they are competent and they are content and so on. We place them there.
Yeah. All right. Let's hear what others have to say. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Great. Very good morning to you. Hey, good FM. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes. How are you today, Mike?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Yeah, I'm back. I think the financial guys could not come in to tell us exactly what's happening.
I want them to come. You know, all right. Let's.
Yeah, but I think we put them off because we said is it for development, empowerment or whatever. Now they could not come and argue that government this idea is a better idea. They could, but never mind.
Yeah.
Question: Do we need to train people or do we just give people?
Yeah.
For now. The first bench, the first batch, which we are starting with. These guys are already there.
Yeah. Should we take those who have already initiated? Let's say, for example, someone who already has a business that is functioning that they want to expand that, or should we really just take even someone who have just a great idea and we don't know how competent they are in running business?
We combine both. We never know because you cannot judge a person because you don't see anything today, but the idea they have and their prosperity can make things happen. So if we stop that, we exclude those type of people, we might lose out. Because it's not them who are losing out, it's a nation. Let's look at it. See, whatever we are doing, we are not doing it for individuals. We are doing it for the nation.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's why I'm saying my proposal is the first batch must start, but that's why National Youth Service should be compulsory. Every time, whenever the kids get to grade 12, at the exit point, before they go to university or whatever, they should be at least, let's have 2 years for National Service to train people the skills. Now, why must that be sustained for the National Service?
Yeah.
Let's have these green schemes, which should be operated by whatever, we take our youth there to work in those in those green schemes.
Yeah.
Including National Service must have their own farms, yeah?
Mm.
So those are the funds that will be now, whatever we sell, we for sustainability. So when they come from there with the skills, now those who are going to venture into agriculture, they can be taken.
Yeah.
Those who are venturing into welding, whatever, so we give them different skills. Is it? Because now we know the youth who are going to promote, to give this money,
yeah,
we have trained them.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
Yes. So national service must be compulsory. National youth service.
Mm. So which also become like, if you actually want to access this money, you actually have to go through this program, through National Youth Services.
Yes,
and,
look,
and also what we need to make then is to make sure that that National Youth Services is actually available everywhere in the country.
Yes. No, that's what I'm saying.
Mm.
In National Service, they should have farms each and every region. Land must be available in each and every region.
Yeah.
So National Service must be in regions. Let's not take people, bring them to Windhoek, then they cannot afford, then they become, they start indulging into these wrong things. But if we have regions with National Service, the great, the whatever at the exit point there, those ones they go. It's compulsory.
Mm.
No parent have got a say, must have a say. Yes, we might have human rights, but training a person to feed themselves, it's not a crime against humanity.
Yeah, definitely not.
It's not crime. You are helping, because what you are doing is also you want to reduce the crime rate. So that must be compulsory. Now, in those national youth farms, whatever, they need to have farms, actually.
Mm.
Whether it's they should have orchard, whatever, those produces they will be producing in those farms, they must be now used to sustain, to be supplied. They should be able to supply to hospitals, prisons, and all those things.
Yeah.
Yes. And prisoners also, when they are there in the prison, they also must be empowered with skills that when a prisoner gets out of prison, is not a burden to the nation.
Yeah.
He can now be told, no, because of this, your offense, now you are going to be released. This is the money. You are going to introduce yourself, how to sustain yourself there.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, like the way the old kings used to do.
Mm.
The old kings used to do this. If you steal, there was one king who used to, if you steal a cow, he'll come and give you another one. Then if you go and steal for the second time, you are going to die, because now you are not, you are not doing it because you did not have food, or maybe you are starving.
Yeah.
Now, this one, because you are stealing the second time, then you are just a criminal.
So we have a commercial coming up, and then you can conclude as well.
Yes.
Okay.
ShopRite's deal drop is back for 3 days only. Get a 5 kg Bokomo white bread flour for only $79.99. 750 grams Ellis Brown coffee creamer for a low $59.99. And 5 kg Best Choice white sugar for just $92.99. Don't miss out. Valid this weekend only, from 5 to 7 September. Only at ShopRite. Lower prices you can trust. Always.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Now, my conclusion is, in this whole issue, all what we need to avoid, like the man Smandume, who said, let's remove the Bank of Namibia, let's remove others, but how does that money be channeled? On graduation time, that's when you can say, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Because we have taught you, we give you this money.
Yeah.
So we are even going to avoid the NAMPOST and whoever.
Mm.
Secondly, we should avoid consultants at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yes. Consultants must get out of this.
All right.
Yes.
Okay, great.
And then at the end, when the person finish, we don't need to bring them to tell them go to consultants. They should immediately start utilizing the skills.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yes.
All right. Thanks for coming through.
That's my contribution. All right.
All right. Good. Very good morning to you. This is Unpacking the Day, and we're looking at what we're looking at, the what is that we're looking at the 4% rate, interest rate, and we're looking at the that has been announced by the Ministry of Finance. Now I told you earlier on at the beginning, I said, maybe what is the catch? Now let's look at some caveats. You are most welcome to come through. That you can interact anytime. So, but look at the caveat. Let's look at some caveats. What some warning, you know, maybe things that we need to look at. So I mentioned earlier on is that interest at 4% is well below Namibian prime rate. So who will cover the difference? So if the government or the fund only recovers, let's say, for example, 4%, $4 for every 100 lent, okay? Now, but cost and inflation eat up another. So then each circle actually then shrinks. So it each circle shrinks, you know? So, and I said, as James said, look, what is the goal? Is it empowerment or is it actually profit? Not profit, but I also believe that in somehow, well, if we have other sector that contributing to that, then it's fine. But from what we know, there's no such a thing. All right. So how do we then deal with that? So the ILO, the United Nations Labour Agency, you know, suggests interest rate on youth loan should at least preserve the fund's real value. Okay, Namibia's 4% rate might not do that. Okay, so over years, the fund's pot, you know, the fund's pot could actually shrink if it pays out more in lending than it gains. So that means we're giving out more in lending than actually what we are gaining, you know, we're gaining from. So that's why they even recommend that at least it preserve the value, the fund's real value. Okay? So, and now there is a risk of default. In Kenya case, many took loans and didn't repay. Why? I mean, the reason could be sometimes business failed. The business has just failed. Or maybe it hasn't started at all. You know? So, and Namibia we should guard against that. So are these now the DFIs, the developing banks now that money will be channeled? Are they also now prepared? Are they prepared to chase defaulters? Would they have that component also where debt collectors, are they prepared now to deal with that? So would they have now staff to do that? Well, will there be grace periods, penalty fees or loan guarantee, you know, or all that? So the plan talks of easy repayment. Okay. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, you need to guard against that one.
Yeah.
I'm sure many entities that have benefited from that, they always give that reason that, no, the business did not work and things like that. Some of the company can even come into a level of being liquidated.
Yeah.
And then they are not really liquidated because of the financial status is not good. But maybe at the pretext.
Yeah, exactly.
They are not making money. And therefore, they might even go and then reblend that company.
Yeah.
So new ownership.
Which is actually cheating.
You see? So now they do it deliberately sometimes into situations. But if somebody is really is experiencing some kind of financial shock, one can understand and then, but still he has to give some grounds why it is like that. mainly because of the capacity, any other issues.
Mm.
But if you cannot repay, it's a risk. Most of the time, the conditions that are attached there are clear, and they might be also worse or harsh to somebody who is the bearer of that loan.
Mm-hmm.
But then, that should not hinder the progress to go ahead. So they just need to calculate it, make sure that the risk is calculated.
Yeah.
And I think it's just those are good moves.
Mm.
And if they can really put some measures in place to guide against those who might fraud or might run away.
Mm.
If you have a problem, then you can present your things. I remember during COVID, most of the companies were invited and then to get some subsidies and all these other things and negotiate and restructure their loans. According to their needs or their financial situation and things like that.
So what do you think of this view now? You know, so the view in terms of the three view in terms of, okay, just give the money to anyone who come up with an idea, and then maybe they can learn from the job how to manage the business. And if it doesn't become successful, well, the government, their view that the government is not, it's providing an opportunity. That shouldn't be now holding, you know, kind of like holding hand people and all that. So the other view is then, no, let's first actually train people, have business incubators and all this and mentorship programs. And then when we see that the people are the youth are competent enough to run them, then give them the funds. Or should maybe this run concurrently, and who will be able to do that? Like, okay, we give you money, but then we will be able now to monitor and coach you and all that. So what is your take on those?
Yes, monitoring and evaluation should be a continuous process. From the implementation of the project or whatever, the mentorship and all this guidance have to be adhered to, and you must impress upon the people who are going to operate. So that one is still to be taken care of. And it cannot, because there are many, many youths who have even come up with innovative ideas already. There are those who are in existing business, those who are doing well, but those who might be newcomers coming in, and they might not have the business or managerial skills to manage their project, they can be empowered.
Mm.
So they can be provided with the technical know-how. But that does not mean that the project or the programming should be put on hold because of those who might be lacking there and there. Those ones can be adjusted, can be rectified. So, but the program should go on. So you might not say, yes, I think there are many, many, is it just a pilot program, even a pilot project, even if it's pilot, provided you put some mechanism in place to make sure that they might not fall behind the scope of your reasoning or your aim, I think you can still go ahead.
Yeah.
You don't just wait, the project starts today from the initial stage, and then you leave it. Like in the past, people just get a tender, and then the 5 million gone. You have not even seen whether the person has got Kupulo, and then the person is now going to hire people from the community to bring their wheelbarrows and the Kupulos. And the person is not paying the people. So we need to continuously monitor and see how the project is being implemented.
Yeah.
That's why they don't even want to give it just things like to one person, because you can die, you can run away, and then what? So if you, people are organized, and I think they have the combination of skills, I think they can still succeed in that area.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, sir.
Great. All right. So we, what I get from WhatsApp is that my fellow callers are right. This fund should not be for political expedience, but well thought to empower our youth and create a sustainable job and economic growth and development. It should not be allowed to fail. Now, Mike, you are right about the interest rate. I think this is a social fund and not for profit, and cannot be charged at the prime rate. Yeah. So the 4% is what we see at the Agribank for communal area loans. So the taxpayer will have to carry the subsidy. So the rationale is that should most of the businesses grow, you will expand the economy and the tax base. So I am an economist, not a financial person, but that is my take. All right. So, oh yeah, those are some opinion that some people are sending on my personal phone anyway. So those who have my number. All right. So you can come through as well and still actually, you know, have your say on these discussions. Yeah. So now there are other issues. As I said, we're looking now at some warning, you know. So what are the warnings that are there? Things that we need to think through, and make sure that, you know, some of these are taken care of. Well, like Uncle Bona just mentioned that are taken care of that. So the other thing is application barrier. Okay. Ironically, very low interest might attract a flood of application. So definitely it will attract a flood of application. But if the process is too complicated, many might drop out. If it's too complicated, report from the grant suggests concern that strict criteria and short windows. You remember there was time when even the professor in the parliament has said, why actually that some region actually stop on this day and some has actually the application is on different days. So that's short windows. So now the concern are that strict criteria and short windows could lock out the very youth we meant actually to benefit. So that application barriers could, you know, become a problem. And think about it. If you need a polish, say, for example, you need now a polished business plan to apply, really, really well designed business plan to apply. If you need that, not every young Namibian has the writing skills or schooling for that. So indeed, the ministry ran a pilot. They also ran a pilot in August to see, to be able to see youth writing and planning skills level. Why? So why did they do that? It's because they are worried that there is a worry that many creative ideas, for example, many creative ideas exist, but owner may lack formal business know-how. They may not actually have the business know-how. And if the application is too academic, and this great idea sometimes will slip through the, you know, what they say, how they say, through the cracks, you know? So that application barrier is something that we should be also concerned about, you know, and really make sure that everything is it's put in place. It's also taking care of, you know, other of those who may have a creative ideas, but may not actually have the know-how, business know-how, to be able to put up a very, very polished business plan to apply. Okay, that's also one warning that we need to look at. The other warning is logistical challenge. All right. Now we are, you know, process for next year, for the next fiscal year, we want to raise 500 million. You know, if it grows, that's the whole idea. So that's not a small amount. So the ministry says the fund will be managed by the finance ministry, but dispersed via the DFI. Okay? So, well, as they said earlier on, the more players means less bottleneck. That's actually good. But also, more chances of miscommunication. Coordinating with NAMPOST, a postal saving channel, you know, that's an innovative thing. It's a very innovative thing, but it's untested when it comes down to this kind of thing. It's untested. They are questioned, do AgriBank or NAMPOST have the right staff or process, you know, for youth loans? Like what I said, if they default, if someone actually default, are you going to have Red Force now to follow the youth that are defaulting, you know, for the debt collections? So now the other things, what training will they get? And past projects show that bureaucratic red tape, you know, can still cause delays, and even with multiple channels, even if you have this multiple channel, those bureaucratic red tape could still actually, you know, cause delays. So you are still welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 0833-66091. We are, you know, on Dangwa, so make sure that you come through. So even I'm still giving some stuff. So you are most welcome to come through at any time, and have your opinion on this. So that also are warning that we get from what other peoples are also, you know, saying. So the other thing, okay, the other warning is, you know, the potential for bias, okay? We have to talk about that. Now, direct lending means, you know, this is a direct lending. Directed lending means the government is deciding who gets the fund. Not the market. It's not that because there's a market for this idea or something. It's actually that the government decides who will get the funds. So that can be good when we're doing a targeted support. We target this, you know, group of people, you know, that can be good. But it can also be bad because there could be favoritism. So what are the criteria that would actually work? Monitoring systems, accountability system and things like that should be in place. But you can't rule out, you know, favoritism as well. So will the approval be fair and transparent? So that's not the question. Civil society is already watching for favoritism or ties to official. You remember the whole stories of a qualified teacher, you know, who said, well, the position before even you applied is already given to someone because some people have been paid. You know, you could have people who are tied to officials. Eh? So, and there was a report on, you know, this Chinese, that focused mostly on Africa, Xinhua, how do you pronounce it? A report. It breaks about now our official breaks about the regional balance that and support to marginalized group, that this will actually, you know, bridge that regional balance and also support the marginalized group. In theory, it sounds inclusive. In practice, we have to see if, say, a city youth who is exposed to many things, technology and other things, and a rural youth in a remote area, are both get a fair shot. Do they both get a share shot? Especially now when we're talking about the application barriers. So that we need to see. So it could be also, the bias could also come from how your, from your criteria, from your, you know, procedures or whatever the case may be, what you're asking. Yeah? So those are things that we need to look at. And the agenda, okay? There are those skeptics. Skeptic ask, is this a bad aid, band-aid, you know, something that we, you know, plastering now, or this is the real deal? That's also a question. Is that just a, you know, it's just a plaster that we're putting on for now, or is this system, is this a real deal? Given our economic woes and something that the fund is actually a way to, it's a way for the ruling party to show it cares, okay? To show that it cares without fixing now the deeper issues. So one radio commentator pointed out that just putting youth into, like, into a military doesn't solve skills mismatch, you know? Now, similarly, handing loans without creating markets, for example, or reforming education, it might not be enough. It is something, but it might not be enough. So those are some opinions. So, and the International Labour Organization, the ILO, so warns that no country can solve a youth problem by funds alone. So we need education, we need infrastructure, we need policy reform, we need more jobs, you know? So loan help, only if all these are combined, you know, if we have all these are in places, education, infrastructure, and, you know, policies and all that. So then loan help, you know, if others are also in place. So we must ask, therefore, then, will this fund, you know, be part of the broader strategy? Or would this remain a standalone program? There's also, if it's a standalone program from those, like the International Labour Organization, it said, well, that won't work in the long run. So it has to be a part of a broader strategy. And what is the broader strategy? Well, that's the questions. So you're still welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091 or 08-333-66-091.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana nana longeshifa ya eshiwite moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifaa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seisa nina omayakuro mirandi soma yoe, yongeshifaa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimwepo yo mo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma onoraje tatu imu. Datu ndatu heari jamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary,
wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get some.
All right. Welcome back. Our time is 42 minutes past the hour of 9. So if we probably just recap what this is all about. So now, okay. All right. So now, there are other things that I want maybe you just maybe play a little bit of a devil advocate. I shouldn't be a devil. So we're looking at different example from other countries, Nigeria, which actually provide a grant or something like that. Now let me pose some question to you, okay, my dear listener. Now these are for you now, just to chew, as you wherever you are, just to think about, or even shout. So now, is 4% interest too good to be true, or not good enough? Or some might say, why not 0% or a grant? Okay, true, a free grant is easier to swallow, so. But then who repays the fund, as we're talking about loan forces? When it's a loan, it forces some kind of discipline. So if no one repays, then we might have to refill the fund again and again. So now, other says, even at 4%, like we hear also, even at 4%, some youth might fail and default. Maybe more support needed so that they succeed. So we have to bear that in mind. So the debate is open. Should this be a handout or a revolving pot? Should it be this now a handout, or it should be a revolving pot? Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Dr. Nego, sorry to come back.
Yeah.
I hear nobody's calling.
No, it's okay.
Mm. Yeah. You know what? When I talk about today, what interest fees, the percent, the 4% that would need to be paid back.
Yeah.
I think it's not a bad thing, as long as you plan it well. Let me say, maybe you are acquiring now. They say 60 to 200,
yeah? Yeah.
Let me say, well, you want only 80 or 70. Instead of taking 80, take a 100. Then when you take 100, you leave 20,000 for what? For payment.
Mm.
Just when you are recovering.
Yeah.
It's very easy, and I think that those percentages they cannot really affect anything unless you are not serious.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Also, this should it be this a handout or should it be a revolving pot? You know, that's somehow, you know, because of what we bring in, you know, with the repayment would actually support those that are coming. So what do you think in that way?
Yeah, I think it will be there. You know, it's a good thing that when you those who are coming, they must be just supported. Because sometimes a person can have a good business idea in the paper.
Mm.
But when it comes to practical, and this is what has been failing this country for so long. Because a lot of people, they know how to design things on the paper. And in the real reality, when they face the situation in hand, in practical, you see where you see they are struggling. And I think we cannot just sideline anybody. Let us give them more opportunity. Even those one who are like now, they are acquiring the papers. Because some people, they are having a good idea, my friend. But the problem is the paper of registration and what.
Exactly. That's now the access and criteria. Now that's the issue. And that is something that has been pointed out. Suppose you are at home in, and not even in, let's talk about in Katwitwi somewhere, you know, in Katwitwi, or is it a village Kahenge somewhere when you're going to Rundu or something like that. You are somewhere in those rural area, right? And with some great idea. Now, do you have the internet, the forms, the business plan skills, the license to apply? You know, now those the critic that many youth, especially out of school and rural, you know, might be technically the idea that might be technically excluded by criteria, you know,
which is true. Mm. That's what I'm saying, especially in the remote area.
Yeah,
I think the form we do even if I have my business plan, then I put it on the what. On the pen and the paper, without even typing it, they must just consider it.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, a lot of people are facing that drama, but you know that the person is having a good idea, but the problem, you need to come up something to be stamped, nice, look nice to the ear of who. As long as the handwriting is clear, it's fine. Give that personal opportunity. Because me, I don't want this situation where we are going to find people, and then you find it like the way we are giving tenders with 5 years old in the business, who doesn't pay attention, is qualified. How? Yeah.
The things from my thinking would be like, okay, if we have the criteria that's actually selecting that, okay, this is a really great idea, it means that we're committing to that. We don't just give you money and say, go and implement the idea, but we make sure that.
Yeah.
That idea is actually implemented. We become part of the whole thing.
Exactly.
We monitor that. We coach you. We, you know, and all of those kind of things. Eh?
Yeah.
So because then if you just left it up to the person, so in 2, 3, 4, 5 months you hear it was a great idea, but the person doesn't have the business know-how to manage that. Eh? Later, the money is wasted. And remember, this is taxpayers' money.
Exactly. And remember one thing that you know, now, once you used to manage a business with what, maybe you are getting like a 20,000, now you are talking about 200,000.
Yeah.
It's a different huge. And now,
exactly. There
will be more challenge than 20,000.
I am going to go for my dangy boss. One can in your mind, you're thinking, oh, I shall up on one gapping a pinya, you know, and then you realize that actually have taken just when you have taken that, something happened to that car. Now you have to repay the money. Now is supposed to go to the project. Now it's going to the car, which is a liability.
I'm telling you that is a issue. But seriously, I want this thing to be continued, not just once off time because of maybe election and what to try to buy voters. It must be just seriously.
Yeah,
something well can go forever.
Yeah, and that's the whole question when the question comes in terms of, is it sustainable? And sometimes when people are asking that, so we want something that we start, even if it's slowly. Let's say, for example, you provide this, and in a short period of two years, you support, let's say, for example, 10,000 youth, okay? Yeah. And then in the next 4 years or 5 years, those who succeeded are even not half of what you support. You understand? Yeah. So would you take that, or would you take, I support 5,000 people at the very beginning, but these 5,000 people have actually succeeded within, you know, in the next 5 years or 10 of, and have grown. So that's what we want to see, even if it's slow, even if it's only few that are taken up, there are procedures and systems that help these people to grow.
That's the thing. And this time I think they will make sure, because we have a lot of experience, man, starting from JPF.
Yeah.
That one for Puamba also. There's a lot of people who get away with that money, but up to now, I don't know where they are, and they are still even getting, just imagine, the thing was also we need to start, consider is like, if you get a tender this year.
Yeah.
Let the bus be like 2 years without you getting anything. Then we let the others get in. Because you can't tell me, you just rely on tenders. Then you are powered to do something else.
Mm.
To expand the business and start accumulating welfare. But these people, they are just stuck like what? What about us? We are all paying VIT. We are all paying social security.
Yeah.
But we are just, every time you go to the board meeting, as these guys, they are looking at you like you're sleeping under their bedroom.
Yeah.
I mean,
That's what we want, you see? Yeah. And those are things that, you know, the system, and then the system that we talk about, we keep talking about. So that has to change. There needs some reform in how things should be done. Because if you do it from in the same way you have been doing, you're actually doing the same thing, hoping that actually, you know, things change. That's insanity, you know?
That's the thing. Yeah. That's why we are... The gap between rich and poor to become white, because
it continues.
You're still circulating the same person in the circle.
Yeah.
All those years.
Yeah.
But you are not even giving the other people a chance so they can start growing.
Exactly. Especially rural and women are in the plan. That's the focus. But as I always said, in practice, we have to see. You know, we have to see. Yeah.
Let us hope that to be continuous, not just one so off.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
All right. All right, mate. Great, man. Have a great weekend. Eh?
Same to you.
All right. So, we also have to look at the broader solutions. I think it's something that has been highlighted by the UN International Labour Organization, that loan is just one tool. But what about supporting internship? What about apprenticeship? What about vocational training? What about industrial growth? You know, what about agriculture? Eh? So if factories, for example, are not opening or market are not growing, now, even if you've given these funds to this loan to these entrepreneurs, where will they find customers? So it has to be a broader solutions, you know, according to the UN International Labour Organization. Or will they, the other things, will they all crowd into the same sector, into the same small sectors? Eh? Compare this to Luanda. There's I also look at Luanda's. Luanda famous, actually, they have this startup program, where training and technology, you know, center go together with the seed money, you know. And that's why I was asking, would that actually, so they make sure that, you know, these people are trained, you know, with high tech, equipment and facility and infrastructure. So that goes together. Is our approach holistic enough? Are we, our approach, is it holistic enough? So, yeah. So we still have about 4 minutes, you know, if you want to jump in and just have your thought quickly. So if you are a young person now, maybe young person out there, call in now. You have these 3 minutes, and tell us, would you apply for this loan? What do you need? So what do you need beside money? Could have asked that earlier on. What do you need beside money if it's a young person? And this is the discussion maybe that we can have outside of this, of the show. So if you're a young person, would you apply for this loan? And, you know, what do you need besides money? Do you just need money or do you need something more? Continue that conversation on our platform. So we want to know, because then we can pick up that, we can pick up if there are other things that, you know, as a young person that you need, and maybe we then can follow up with those in charge in terms of, you know, have you taken care of this? Because I said, is this approach holistic enough? So bring out some of these other things rather than money, that rather than the loan itself. What else do you need? Okay, as a young person, and would you apply? And if you are a parent, you could be a parent as well. You know, if you are a parent, would you recommend your child borrow and start a business? Would you recommend that? So, and if you, you yourself maybe run a small shop already, do you see this as a competition or a partnership? You know, so all these are some of the questions, and how do you see this? So as I said, continue to engage us, not just when the show ends and this conversation stops. Let the debate continues. View your have your views, have your perspectives, have your contribution on our social medias as well, and yeah, let's continue to do that. So, yes, so that's what we have for you today. Looking at this, particularly what are the implications of this 4% interest repayment of the student loan, of the entrepreneur, of this youth loan. So, yeah. So, as I said, let's continue discussing. Let's continue engaging, and engage us on our platforms as well. Yeah, actually, that brings me right to the end of this episode of Unpacking the Day. Thanks for coming through, those who have come through and participate. This is what it's all about. And give your contribution, you know, it is within that and so much more. We learn so much more in participating and in also giving our opinion and views. That's how we learn, and that's the reason. That's the reason we have a platform like this to really you know, talk to each other and bring out maybe certain things. Sometimes is not in the headlines. This is the whole question. This is the whole question here. This is the whole point here. We want to bring out certain things that are not in the headlines, that you may not actually maybe picked up in the newspaper that you're reading. So, or the story that you're reading. So, yeah. So make sure that you book your seat, next week on Monday morning, and let's do this again, next time. So for me, I wish you a great, great, great weekend, and don't do what I wouldn't do. Now, if you do what I wouldn't do, well, when you do it, name it after me. So I see you on Monday at the same time on the same frequency, but tomorrow, book the day with me on Mind Matters
I will be here from 11 to 1 o'clock. So, bye for now. Until tomorrow on Mind Matters. I'm Michael Chevalier.